And this is KDNK News for Friday, January 13th. I'm Steve Cole, live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District. NASA and the U.S. Forest Service have teamed up for a new project called SnowX that provides snow data to water managers that can help with flood and drought preparations. Chad Rich from our partner station KBUT reports.
The U.S. Forest Service and NASA are working together on a project titled SnowX that will improve the ability to measure water that is stored as snow on the surface of the earth. Leanne Laup is the public affairs officer with the U.S. Forest Service.
So this project itself is to help determine the ground truth to see how accurate they can measure snow and snow water equivalent across a variety of different terrains.
NASA's challenge has been accurately measuring snowpack in forested areas and on varying mountainous terrain with remote sensors. SnowX already has ground sensors set up on the Grand Mesa and in the San Juan Mountains in various densities of forest cover. Data collected at the ground sensors will be compared with data collected by remote sensors to determine how accurate the remote sensing really is. By measuring the accuracy at these test sites, scientists with NASA will have a better idea of how accurate their measurements are in remote snow-covered areas or other areas that don't have ground sensors. Laup says the information will be useful locally and globally.
If we think about just here at home, snow plays a huge role in how our agriculture systems relate. It can help predict climate changes. When we think about on a global level, think about remote areas and remote opportunities to identify water supplies, what kinds of effects snow might have.
More accurate measurements on global snow water equivalent on the surface will let managers know how much water is available and how to prepare for its challenges when there is too much or not enough in certain geographic zones. This will better help managers across the globe plan for irrigation, predict floods and drought, and predict what could happen to wetland habitat. In 2016 and 17, the SnowX project will be working in February. Testing will be done on the Grand Mesa and in Senator Buck Basin in the San Juan Mountains. Backcountry travelers may come across science-like equipment and they're asked to leave it alone to allow it to take its measurements. Chad Rich, KBUT.
Governor John Hickenlooper delivered one of his last State of the State addresses to the state legislature Thursday. He talked broadly about where he wanted the state to go. Penta Brickland has more from the state capitol.
In front of a packed chamber full of lawmakers, guests, and other state dignitaries, the governor said Colorado's future is bright, but not without challenges, and that includes access to high-speed internet in rural parts of the state.
Somewhere in one of these communities, a high school student will sit in a parked car outside her town library. She'll huddle over her laptop, face glowing from the screen as she tries to finish her paper, because it's the only place she can get Wi-Fi. This isn't right.
So he pledged to create a specific broadband office to increase internet coverage from 70 to 85% of households before he leaves office in 2018. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, including Democratic Representative Diane Mitchbush of Steamboat Springs, cheered the proposal. She says in her district, it's a major problem.
Broadband is an essential piece of infrastructure that everyone needs. The problem where I'm from is distance, terrain, and density.
The governor also hopes to prioritize transportation funding and improvements to roads and bridges. While most lawmakers agree, there's no consensus on ways to fund a $9 billion shortfall over the next decade. Hickenlooper says he wants to consider all options, but believes it can't be done on cuts alone.
We're already squeezing pretty much every penny out of our transportation revenue, but efficiencies can only get us so far. With the gas tax unchanged since 1992, more fuel-efficient cars, and normal inflation, it's basic math. It's a funding problem. We've had this debate for too long.
He says he would like to put the question of transportation funding before voters this November. But Republicans, such as House Minority Leader Patrick Neville, aren't sold on the idea.
We have over $1 billion more than we had last year. So if we keep getting more money and more money, but we're not funding it, we have to ask ourselves, is it a spending problem or is it a revenue problem? I say it's a spending problem. We can control the general fund this session and actually do something for transportation this session.
With a split legislature, any referred measure would need bipartisan support. Other Republicans are open to sending a question to voters. Senator Bob Gardner of Colorado Springs says he'll take a wait-and-see approach.
I think it's sort of inevitable that the transportation question, whatever it is, will have to go to the voters ultimately. The fundamental discussion between Republicans and Democrats is about whether there should be new revenue, which is the Democrat position. Republicans, among them, believe that we need to reprioritize.
There's also disagreement about what could be coming down from the incoming Trump administration. Governor Hickenlooper acknowledged what he called a toxic political campaign last year. He also says the new administration will seek a different relationship between the federal government and states. He urges caution, especially on a repeal of the Affordable Care Act.
If changes are inevitable, I will fight for a replacement plan that protects the people who are covered now and does not take us backwards.
The GOP-controlled Senate has already introduced a bill to repeal the state's health care exchange. Colorado lawmakers feel confident they can make headway on other topics this session, such as making housing more affordable and discussing constitutional budget provisions. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
After more than a year, some local residents are still unhappy with the County Road 106 right-of-way through Colorado Rocky Mountain School. They took their complaints to the Garfield County Commissioners this week. KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh has more.
Chad Lee, attorney for Colorado Rocky Mountain School, was not happy with local residents John Armstrong's and Barbara Dill's complaints at the Garfield County Commissioners meeting Monday about how the school has handled the public right-of-way through its property.
I guess I'm sensing some sour grapes from John and Barbara. I do think
the basic complaints from Armstrong and Dills, who have been involved in this issue for at least 4 years, are about safety, maintaining public use of the right-of-way, and that the school hold up its end of the bargain. Armstrong told the board that he felt assured by Commissioner John Martin at a site visit last year that certain needs would be met.
That we would have some greenbelt separation that would certainly have easily delineated the fact that it was a trail. And John said, yeah, we could take out that one tree and go through the berm and come out at the junction of the road and the driveway.
But he added that didn't happen. He presented several specific examples of problems at Monday's meeting, including no trail separation from County Road 108, a lack of signs, and what he perceived as possible attempts by the school to deter public access to the right-of-way.
The school was successful in their driveway relocation, which I will always regard extremely suspect, but the road was taken out of the right-of-way and entirely onto CRMS property, and then linked again to 108 Road.
John Martin reiterated that the county did not vacate the right-of-way through the school and that the public is allowed to use it. But there is one point where the bike path leaves the right-of-way and crosses school property.
Even though the paved road leaves the county right-of-way at one point, it goes on to CRMS property. Is the public allowed to stay on the asphalt and link on to 108 Road?
And you're talking about the southern brand new entrance is what you're talking about. Well, a point of contention.
Armstrong says trail users are also concerned about being dumped out onto County Road 108, stating that it's not safe. Carbondale resident Barbara Dills told commissioners that she, too, thought the school was ignoring the public right-of-way where it comes across school property.
Even when the painted lines were still visible, which they no longer are, there was parking in the trail, there was obstruction of the trail, and now that there are no markings there, the blatant ignoring of our right to use the right-of-way has escalated.
CRMS attorney Chad Lee essentially blamed the county for causing the problem decades ago.
CRMS has certainly received its share of promises over the years, the most important of which was in 1979, when this board promised the school that it would relocate CR 106 when the school donated the land for Dolores Way. And in exchange, they restricted the historic alignment for CR 106 to non-motorized traffic. The county's only interest is non-motorized traffic, and that's what this provides. And what I'm hearing, I guess, from John is that this isn't good enough.
Lee was not about to concede to either Dills or Armstrong's complaints.
No one is ever saying that they've been prevented from accessing across the right-of-way through campus. And saying they may have been inconvenienced to a certain extent, may not have been as pretty as they liked or as delineated as they liked, but the fact is the public has access through there for pedestrian purposes. John also asked if he's going to be prosecuted for trespassing if he takes our private driveway around. I can tell you that to date we have no plans to do so, but we absolutely reserve our right to do so. It's our private property.
Commissioners discussed options to help resolve the issue and instructed the County Road and Bridge Department to come back with costs. For KDNK, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.